This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Michigan's Republican leadership has presented a plan for reopening sectors of the state's economy that have been shut down by the COVID-19 pandemic. Governor Whitmer had indicated that her administration was working on guidelines for a partial restart as soon as May 1st, depending on the continued spread of the disease. But now the State House and Senate leadership have produced their own set of recommendations. Lee Chatfield, Republican from Levering, is Michigan's House Speaker, and he represents District 107. Speaker Chatfield, welcome back to Stateside.
April, always a pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
You say that a one-size-fits-all approach to stay-at-home orders isn't necessary anymore. What made you decide that it was time for a more dynamic and nuanced approach?
Well, we've seen across the country, April, different states have implemented different styles and different strategies to fight COVID-19, and that's simply because different states are diverse. And when you look at the state of Michigan, we're also very diverse. And let's admit that regionally, we have been impacted differently across the state of Michigan. Though we're third in the number of deaths here in the state of Michigan in comparison to the rest of the country, 88% of those cases have come from three counties. So what we believe we need to do is ensure that those counties and that region has the additional resources they need, that that region has the additional support and finances that they need in testing, but also let's not paint with too broad of a brush where we hurt families unnecessarily in outstate Michigan. So I think a one-size-fits-all approach is the wrong call. We're already being regional in how we deliver these supplies across the state. Now I'm calling on the governor to be regional in how we implement policies. Because we can be more surgical and we can be more balanced and we can continue to prioritize the public health, but be reasonable in our approach in the restrictions that we're implementing.
So the plan suggests categorizing Michigan's counties into three tiers based on COVID-19 cases and risk. Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb, as you indicated, are sort of in their own category right now. The tier two counties would put large gatherings, with the exception of funerals, under restrictions and allow businesses to do curbside sales, correct?
That's correct.
What kind of counties do you envision in that situation?
Well, we implemented a task force that will make these determinations based on the healthcare system, what their preparedness is for should there be a potential influx in cases in that county. DHHS has already regionalized Michigan in the map in determining how these different regions are being impacted. So we've broken the state of Michigan already up into eight regions, and we are compiling that data for what the stats are showing us. So I'm calling on the governor to create a task force to take the information that we have gathered through our regionalization of our state and begin implementing that in the policies that we are adopting. So part of that will come from the experts who are at the table advising the governor. But I think creating three tiers for our counties is the first logical step. But also in that, April, in that phase one, I also call on the governor to adopt the most updated federal standards. So Michigan is following the CISA standards as it relates to critical infrastructure, as most states are in the country. But we're one of the only states that haven't adopted the most updated, recent science-based standards. So other states are allowing activities such as construction when it can be done safely, lawn care and gardening when it can be done safely, certain manufacturing. And Michigan is not. And because of that, we've become an outlier where I feel that thousands of Michigan families are hurting unnecessarily because of it. So phase one is let's tier the counties. Let's have a regional approach where it's not one size fits all. And then number two, let's adopt the updated standards. Because I want to partner with the governor and I want to be a resource to her. But part of it is just getting this information to her.
The tier three counties in the plan would not require people to necessarily stay home if they are not part of a high-risk population. And the plan also calls in the tier three counties for lifting the bans on outdoor recreation and non-essential travel. Would that include vacation home rentals?
I think it's problematic anytime the state tells someone in any part of the state, you don't have the freedom to travel to another residence that you're paying taxes on, because I haven't heard a plan from government to prorate the taxes yet either, right? But you do acknowledge we are looking at it as a safe versus unsafe model. And if there's a low-risk individual in a low-risk area, we should regionalize our policies to ensure that it's more surgical in our application of it. And that's what we do by the three tiers.
It's hard to imagine how something like that would be enforced, though, if we say that it's okay for people who are not infected or not at risk to go to vacation homes or their second homes. How do you envision how that would work out? I mean, are they just going to be expected to take their own temperatures and use their best judgment?
Well, again, there's already problems right now, April, with how we're implementing this current stay-at-home order. There's already ambiguities and there are confusions. What we are doing right now was proposing a county-by-county basis. It's something we're not focusing on the individuals necessarily here. We're focused on the counties and how they've been impacted with the data that we have. And that's why we have a task force that can make adjustments as we move forward, because we're learning more about this virus on a daily and weekly basis. And some of the recommendations coming down from Dr. Fauci within the federal government is a recognition that any way to reopen the economy needs to be done regionally, and they're actually focused on the counties. So we're taking a lot of information from Dr. Fauci and federal health officials as well. And that's why we're trying to balance this where we can prioritize public health, but still be reasonable in our approach. So the individual, as you mentioned, is not the focus is not on the individual. The focus is on the county.
Was this plan informed by the protest last week at the state's capital?
Well, we've been in constant communication with the administration here in the state of Michigan. We've been in constant communication with the federal administration as well, with President Trump, and with health experts, with manufacturers, and everyone here in the public and private sector. We feel we've listened to everyone here in the state. We've taken some counsel and advice from Dr. Fauci as well, but we've implemented best practices that we have found in other states, and we think it's a reasonable approach. Now, as for the protest last week, I feel everyone should have the right to protest and share their frustrations. In April, there are thousands of Michigan families across the state who have had their livelihoods taken away, and they're being told that they can't work a job and take care of their family. And I think they deserve to know from their government what data needs to be true in order for things to return back to normal. So what we've presented to the governor is a roadmap. I think anyone who does any protest in the future should do it in a safe manner. But we've been working on this for several weeks with internal work groups that we've had within the House of Representatives.
There were no doubt some earnest business owners who just wanted to go back to work in Lansing last week, but there were also Michigan militia present or other extreme groups who were a little more anti-government than pro-business in their feelings. How do you thread the needle to make sure you're honoring the business side of the equation and not feeding into ideological extremes?
So I think we can do multiple things at once. There's a narrative out there, April, that we have to choose either public health or we have to choose the economy. And I disagree with that. We can be reasonable to ensure constitutional rights are protected while prioritizing the public health and ensuring we're taking reasonable steps to reopen our economy. Because I think we're going to find out it's going to take much longer to restart our lives and reopen the economy and small family businesses across the state than it took to shut them down. So there certainly was frustration last week at the Capitol. We heard them, and I know the governor heard them. And that's why we're doing all we can to partner with the governor, to be a resource to her and share with her best practices that we've identified. But it is important that we listen to all people across the state of Michigan. And by listening to all people, you're going to hear a wide range of views.
You know, there were protesters who stayed in their cars last week, but a great many ignored physical distancing and came out and stood together without any protective gear. Sparrow Health was blocked for a time. Does this say anything that we should pay attention to about Michigan's ability to stick to rules that are merely suggested and not enforced?
I think by and large, when you look across the state of Michigan, you'll find a very wide range of compliance to these rules. But I think the people of the state of Michigan have really stepped up. I think we've risen to the occasion as a state and have followed these rules. Sparrow Hospital later clarified, I know their management had said they were not blocked in any way and it didn't slow down any services. So I think there's a right way to protest where you can do it safely, you can do it smartly. Obviously, people have basic freedoms to protest their government. That's enumerated within the First Amendment of our Constitution, the right to assemble and the right to petition. So again, you are walking a fine line here. We do want to ensure that people's constitutional rights are protected and we prioritize public health and we're being reasonable as it relates to restarting our economy. I don't think all of those are mutually exclusive.
There's no real way to know if and when a second surge might happen, but would you be prepared to return to some kind of stay-at-home order depending on what conditions look like maybe 6 months or 12 months down the road?
Well, I think we're learning so much about this virus, April, on a daily and weekly basis. It's difficult enough to predict what things are going to look like next week, let alone 6 months down the line. But I think what this pandemic has shown us here in the state of Michigan is our deficiencies, and across the country for that matter, our deficiencies in our preparedness for a pandemic like this to happen again. So what we've identified is areas that we can improve, perhaps what occurred in an executive order that potentially needs to be permanent through legislation, and how we can ensure that if there's ever a second or third wave, we are more prepared. I've already begun having those conversations with the administration here in the state and with the federal administration, because we're all on the same team. And I am convinced that though, yes, I have had disagreements with the governor, and yes, she has not taken all of our recommendations, we're all on the same team. And the less partisan we can be, the sooner we're going to get out of this. And I think our preparedness and our plan moving forward to plan for a potential second wave, the less partisan we can be, the better position we're all going to be in. And that's what I'm committed to doing.
Have you spoken with the governor yourself?
Oh, yes. I've been in constant communication with the governor on a daily and weekly basis. So this has been something where we have been comparing notes, sharing ideas. Again, some of them have been taken, some have not. I'm quite convinced that armchair president and armchair governor are probably pretty easy positions for people to be in, right, across the state and across the country, knowing what they would do if they were in that situation. So I think she's made decisions that she feels are in the best interest of the people of our state. I think they can be more tailored. I think they can be better. And I think families have been hurt unnecessarily because of an overbroad regulatory framework. But again, I'm just simply trying to partner with her and be a resource to her right now.
Just one more question, Speaker Chatfield. Some people have suggested that getting, quote unquote, back to normal may look much more like a series of steps over a long period of time. If we find ourselves in a situation where there are periodic surges of infection, do you think Michigan would be able to handle a series of waves, or, you know, some other system that would help people schedule their business and their home lives around varying states of safety in society?
Well, April, I agree that it's going to take multiple phases to get back to a new sense of normal. It's going to take multiple steps. And that's why we presented this plan to the governor in that way that underscores that importance of this being phased back in. I do believe we'll be better prepared for a second or third wave than we were for this first hit. And I think government now has found out the deficiencies we have within our framework and preparedness with the hospital system, personal protective equipment and testing. So we're going to be better prepared should something like this come back. But we are engaged in those conversations on what we can and do, what steps need to be taken now to ensure that if it does happen again, we can be more efficient, we can move more quickly. And the American people are creative. The American people are entrepreneurs. There's never been a challenge that's been presented to the red, white, and blue that we couldn't overcome. And now that we've gone through this and are still going through it for this first time, we will be better prepared as local communities, as a state, as a country, next time it comes down the pike. And I'm hoping that we can address it not as Republicans and Democrats, but as Americans being united. And that's my goal moving forward, to support the president, to be a resource to this governor. And I'm very optimistic that we're going to be out of the dark here very soon.
Lee Chatfield is Speaker of the Michigan House of Representatives. Speaker Chatfield, thanks again.
Always a pleasure, April. Thank you.